step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Kyle Anthony's UFC Betting Show. I am Kyle Anthony, and welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the betting show for UFC Fight Night between Derek Lewis and Sergey Spivak. We're going to talk two plays here like we always do here. And just to let everybody know, tomorrow, February 2nd, is my birthday. I am excited about it, man. Listen, another year around the sun. I'm feeling good, living the dream here. I figure I gotta share the wealth here. So what I'm doing here for my clients here is, if you wanna become a client or you wanna add on to your current package, I'm giving $200 off on a yearly package, the most I've given off at any point, pretty much since I've been Wager Talk for the last 5 years. So link down in the description. And again, clients last year made over 40 units last year on MMA betting with me. Over the last 3 years, over 105 units. So very profitable. We got to keep it going. So if you're interested, link down in the description. And also wish me happy birthday too. And also appreciate anybody liking, commenting, following me at KyleAnthonyUFC on Twitter. Always appreciate all that great stuff here. And let's dive into it. Let's get right into it here. So we may have a quicker show here today. We may have a quicker show here today because we're going to be talking a lot of knockouts, finishes. We got somebody like Derek Lewis in there. A lot of that's going to be happening. So we're going to dive into that. And let's start out with it here. We got Derek Lewis, who is the dog. He's plus 185. On the comeback here, you've got Sergey Spivak, who's minus 225. Like we always do here, we're going to talk about each fighter, three fights for each fighter, see what we see, see if one fighter can expose the other fighter, and if the line makes sense to place a wager. So, we're going to talk about Derek Lewis here, and 3 fights ago, he fought Chris Daukaus. Now, this one here, like I was saying, it's a quick one here. Coming out here in this fight was one where a lot of talk was talking about how far is this going to go, and really, is this going to be the decline of Derek Lewis, or is this really kind of going to be Daukaus coming forward, really kind of putting his name out there, getting these knockouts, getting these finishes, starting to try to fight some of the bigger names? And early, both these guys were very patient. Both guys were very patient in the pocket, kind of staying on the outside, chipping away a little bit here and there, and Daukaus kind of lunged a couple times, and Derek Lewis taking his time, and that's the thing. He's got the nuclear option. He can go there, land the big shot, fight over, game ender. And in this spot here, you know, again, Daukaus utilizing some of his footwork, but all it took was Derek Lewis coming forward with a big barrage, ended up clipping him in that first attempt to kind of push forward. But about 20 seconds later, he again throws a massive barrage, rocks Daukaus, drops him, fight over, round one knockout for Derek Lewis. 2 fights ago, he fought Tai Tuivasa. Here's another quick knockout for you. This was one here where you look at here, this was just another pure brawl where both guys early, again, kind of taking a little bit of time, but once they started getting to it, once they started throwing, both of them throwing big shots, both of them firing big shots, but you did see a new little wrinkle, which something I don't believe we're going to see on Saturday night, but a new little wrinkle there for Lewis where he took him down. He took Tuivasa down. He took him down, I believe it was twice. The one time he took him down, it was an opportunity where he was landing massive shots right on the dome of Tai Tuivasa. I would say most other people within the heavyweight division are going out. There's not many guys that can just basically have Derek Lewis on top of you, firing heavy right hands to your face. Somehow Ty gets up. He looked like he was very pissed off, and he just starts exchanging. He starts throwing big shots, you know, exchanging in the pocket, and then ended up getting Lewis up against the fence, throws a beautiful elbow, drops him, puts him to bed, night-night, fight over. Ty Tuivasa gets the first round victory over Derek Lewis. And then most recently, we've got Derek Lewis versus Sergey Pavlovich. Another quick one here, man. I mean, you've got Sergey Pavlovich. I mean, this guy just has absolute dynamite in his hands. And this was another spot here where right away, you know, they're both kind of, you know, dancing around a little bit. But once Lewis threw a shot and kind of missed, and boy, did Pavlovich just unload. When they started exchanging, it was almost like who's going to hit who there. But I really like, I mean, the reach advantage that he had. He's got the quick hands. I like the sharp combinations of Pavlovich. Landed a big shot, rocked him. He did drop Lewis in 55 seconds. The fight ended. Lewis got up and kind of protested and kind of said, you know, this fight, you know, he did bounce back up. But when you shell up, when you're on the ground and you shell up and you got a heavyweight throwing bombs, ref's got to do what he's got to do. Fight ends. It goes by Sergey Pavlovich to win in the first round. Now on the other side, we've got Sergey Spivak. And three fights ago, he fought Tom Aspinall. Well, this was one here where we kind of all were starting to figure out how good Tom Aspinall is. You know, the guy goes from, you know, 0 to 60, absolutely, you know, big power in his hands. He moves like a middleweight. I mean, the guy just is light on his feet. He's very aggressive. He has well-rounded skill set. You know, sucks to see him hurt on the sidelines there. But this is a spot here where right away, Aspinall goes out there and he pushes the big pressure. He's pushing forward. He's throwing the big shots. And I got to say the one thing again, and this shows really again what Aspinall could do, is that footwork. I mean, he was stalking Spivak up against the fence. Spivak was trying to look for an opportunity, and it's just a really bad matchup overall for Spivak, to be honest with you. I mean, again, you've got the well-rounded skill set of Aspinall. He really doesn't have many weaknesses, to be honest there. He, you know, there's not like, oh, take him down or I'll keep him standing. The guy is lethal all around, and he's just going to be getting better. But really, that footwork just caused Spivak so many problems. He couldn't get into rhythm, didn't know really what, you know, how to cut distance or kind of get in tight, and Aspinall kind of picked him apart, landing the big shots, throwing the big shots. You can really see that Aspinall is just the more athletic guy when it comes to these two guys in the cage on that day. But then you had a beautiful ending to this. And then again, it shows how good Aspinall is, where he kind of framed Sergey a little bit. You know, they were standing in the clinch. He throws a big shot, rocks him. He falls backwards, ends up finishing Sergey Spivak in that first round. So there you have it there. And two fights ago, he fought Greg Hardy. Now, this is one here where I think really starts to indicate really what he's looking to do, really how Sergey Spivak is putting it a little bit all together here. Now, not saying that Greg Hardy is some high-level guy, but it shows really now he is absolutely going for his strength. He is not fucking around anymore. He is absolutely shooting at legs, grabbing ankles, and taking people down. And that's exactly what he did against Greg Hardy here. Right away, he took Hardy down within the first minute, took him down. And the one thing that I thought was absolutely, again, impressive by what Sergey Spivak did is the way he was taking him down. I mean, Hardy is a big mammoth of a human being, strong guy, has the ability to kind of leverage himself a little bit. Now, I know he's not this high-level mixed martial artist, but it just shows that Spivak was ragdolling Hardy all over the place. I mean, picked him up, threw him down, picked him up, threw him down, did what he wanted to do with him, you know, ground and pounded him, and then there was a point where he ended up picking him up again. And that's actually the one thing, though, that Sergey does, you know, allow a little bit is he'll work you. You know, he'll take you down, and you may be able to get up, but he is absolutely going to be doing it again, absolutely going to be chain wrestling, absolutely going to continue to do the things that work for him, and he did it consistently in this fight. Took him down. As soon as he took down Hardy, he smoothly transitioned right over to full mount, dropping bombs, fight over, TKO victory for Sergey Spivak in round one. And then most recently, he fought Augusto Sakai. Again, the same thing here. Really what he did is he wasted no time. He didn't want to stand. He didn't want to, you know, strike, allow Sakai to kind of start to land some of the heavy shots that he could throw a little bit there. He just shot. Again, this is another fight within the first 45 seconds. He took his opponent down. Spivak takes him down, ragdolls him to the ground, keeps him down there, keeps working. And the one thing that he did, well, actually didn't keep him down there. He ended up getting back up, but he kept the pressure on. And again, this was a spot where it shows the relentlessness of what Spivak does. Is once that he's got you down there, or once he has his hands on you, he's going to keep pushing. He's going to keep wrestling. He's going to wear on you. He's going to smother you. And those are things that he did. And he took him down consistently, again, ragdolling Sakai all over the place. And again, this is another big guy. I mean, Sakai is a big dude. He was able to throw him around as well, too. I think that says a lot of great things for just his strength overall. Now, Spivak does not look like a guy that's going to have all this strength, all this power. He doesn't have power in his hands, but he definitely has power when it comes to his ground and pound, comes to his strength and the clinch and his takedowns. He was able to do that over and over and over again. There was a point, I believe it was in the second round, Sakai almost broke. I mean, Sakai had nothing left. He almost couldn't even get up. He almost basically just collapsed when he had Spivak on his back. He goes out there, Spivak goes, grounds and pounds him to death there, gets that TKO victory in that second round. Now, with that being said, we look at this fight here now. The first thing here is we know is that, listen, we don't have to break down what Derek Lewis does great or what he does. We know he's got the big power. We know he looks for that big overhand shot. He only needs one. He hunts it all the time. He will be patient as possible up until the fifth round if he needs to wait and throw the bomb. And that's just kind of the way that's worked for him. He also has a very strong high kick that I think has worked for him in certain spots, but it almost is he sets it up a little too much. He doesn't disguise it, doesn't put it behind really any other shots. He'll just kind of singly, you know, naked throw it. So it's kind of easy to stop a little bit, but it does have a lot of power in those shots there. And the other side here, Spivak is really starting to put it together. You know, he's got his wrestling, he's got that the takedowns, and he's starting to put some strikes together in front of these takedowns to make it a little bit more difficult for his opponent to see these takedowns coming, and he is shooting for it. But if you look at here now, obviously the biggest problem here for Derek Lewis is going to be the takedowns, is going to be the relentlessness of it. And that's the part of that really, really gives a lot of just overall advantages when it comes to just the ground game is the chain wrestling that Spivak has. He's not a guy that's just going to shoot and just take you down if he doesn't take you down and keep shooting and then finding opportunities to keep doing it again. And that's how he's going to be doing it here. Now, I think early, I think Lewis is going to get up. We've seen him get up. He's got the strength to get up. He has that explosiveness where, you know, we've even seen it where he can do these like switch kicks. You know what I mean? And he's able to kind of explode. Now, he's able to do that, and I think that helps him in certain spots, but that's something where it's not technical. It's not that he's sweeping over. It's not that he's been able to kind of, you know, manipulate body movement and find space and get back to his feet. He is basically like throwing the guy off of him and creating space. Now, you can't do that over five rounds. It's just the body's going to give out. You just can't do that over five rounds. It's going to be very difficult. And I think the other part of this that I think is really important is that one thing is for sure is that Spivak, and I talked about it a little bit before, is that he can pick his opponent up and basically body slam his opponent and do that over and over again. But the one thing that I think he does, and he really has added this, and I think it has brought a lot of success over those last two fights, is he's changed up his takedowns. He doesn't just double leg or shoot for a single or just kind of latch onto his opponent up against the fence. He will utilize those, but in the right moment, he'll do a little inside trip. He'll do a hip toss. He'll find other ways where your opponent is, or his opponent is starting to kind of, okay, is this the way you're gonna attack me? And all of a sudden he's in the clinch and he inside trip, he's on top of you. And he did that consistently over his last few fights. Very tricky moves, not a lot of power behind it. And I think those are certain things that I think trip up his opponent, somebody like Lewis Hu, who's a little more flat-footed, trip up his opponent and consistently get him down. I think that helps him a lot there too. Plus you got the strength of Spivak. A lot of people don't talk about that strength. I think he has enough strength, maybe not the best top control, but once his opponent gets a little tired, that's where he really capitalizes. He allows the opponent to get up, but he's able to keep the pressure going, keep pushing forward. And even when he's on the mat, he's pretty slick on the mat for a big guy. He has some ability there. He's able to kind of get out of certain spots, find a little bit better top control when he can. And again, that's after some takedowns there. Now, if this fight stays standing, not going to dive into this too much here, but if it stays standing, listen, Lewis has the shot. He's got the nuclear option. He can throw the big bomb. There's no doubt about that there. But I really think Spivak has at least elevated enough where he can at least be smart and not just be as one-dimensional just shooting for legs. I think he can throw out a couple of strikes. I think he can play defense a little bit and in the right spots, look for the takedowns, look for the opportunity to get the takedown. And it's kind of the same thing that he really has the one out. Everybody knows Lewis has the one out. It's the big shot. And yeah, you know, another wrestler like Curtis Blaydes, who, you know, has looked fantastic and, you know, relentless with his takedowns and has that ability to get these takedowns on these guys. But, you know, that's the only out there for him is that. Now, Lewis, you know, kind of at the end of his career here, where you got Spivak really starting to put things together. I think it makes a lot of sense here. And I just think that Spivak can really fuel these takedowns where Lewis, I think that first round, you know, takedowns come and he's throwing these big shots. But as the fight progresses, absolutely, there's opportunity for Spivak to get that finish there. And the last part here is a lot of people talking about, oh, we've seen Derek Lewis slim down. He looks better. You know, does this help him? Does this not help him? I actually think the slimmer Lewis may be an advantage for Spivak. Now, this is obviously a little hard to kind of actually put and quantify it and be like, yeah, this is a something you're going to throw into your capping. But just looking at it, you know, you kind of got to look at it and say, you know, is it going to help Lewis? You know, yes, you know, Lewis has been the guy that has been the big guy, but he's had a lot of success being the big guy. But does it lower his power? You know, does it lower his punching power? Does he have the ability to throw that big shot? I'm sure he does. But does that lower his power? Does it lower his strength in the clinch? Does it lower his strength from bottom position? Does it make him a little bit lighter for somebody like Spivak to get those takedowns where maybe he has more strength, the bigger body, harder to take Lewis down? Yes, maybe the cardio could help, but I think it throws a little bit of something in there when you're taking a look at it. And also, I love that this is in the apex cage, and I think that he can go push forward, get him up against the fence, consistently get him there, and then seek these trips and seek these takedowns. So for me here, I like Sergey Spivak here, and you got him now at minus 225. I actually like inside the distance. It's roughly around minus 165, minus 170. I think that's a pretty good price there because I just am so low on Lewis right now. I'm really low on him. I think that this is kind of the end. I think this was his last real big chance here to say, hey, I'm gonna cut weight. I'm gonna really push to kind of get my body in shape. But I think this is the end. I think this is Spivak's opportunity to get the finish. I think he's gonna keep pushing on him. He's gonna keep pressing on him. He's not gonna give the space. And I think Lewis will break maybe middle of the fight, maybe second or third round, somewhere in there. But I think Spivak's cardio is gonna be weaponized. It's gonna tire him out. So I do like Sergey Spivak to win inside the distance, minus 165. And then a play I'm gonna quickly just basically say, is Devin Clark versus Daun Jung, and Jung is minus 235. You've got Clark roughly around the plus 205 range. Now, quickly, you know, you've got Clark here who's, you know, he's physical, he can be explosive at certain spots, he's a strong wrestler, he does have cardio, he definitely has durability. But the big knock on him, and I think the reason why this line is wider is, yeah, there are, you know, his striking isn't the greatest and he's looked sloppy in certain spots. I think that's kind of a big part of this, but his low fight IQ. I mean, there's been spots where he has had opportunities to take control of a fight or can take control of the wrestling or find opportunities. And he just kind of at sometimes looks uninterested. Sometimes it's just, I don't really know, but there's points where he has made really bad decisions. Plus the fact that, what just happened, where he got his jaw, you know, basically, you know, punched into the back of his mouth, you know, so there are those things that we've seen a little bit, you know, recently where he doesn't really look like he likes to get punched. I don't think anybody does, but there is that part of it in there. So, I think those are certain things, but I think the game plan works well for him in this spot. Now, I know it's not a sexy pick here, and this is one where you only want to lightly sprinkle here, but I think that this is a spot where, you know, Jung can be flat-footed. He's predominantly a boxer. He has opportunity there where, you know, he's got, you know, he can be, You know, he's big for the division. He can look to get some top control. We've seen him against other fighters where he's able to get these takedowns because he is big for the division and he can get these takedowns and can control. But if you look at his takedown defense, he really hasn't been tested. And I know that's not something that you want to really hear. You want to hear a guy that's pretty weak when it comes to takedowns. But I think there's a vulnerability there. And I think the line is starting to get a little bit more inflated than it actually should be. I think that, you know, most of the fighters that Zhang has fought pretty much have been on the striker side of things, where they're comfortable standing, they're not shooting, at your legs, he's not worrying about defending. That changes a lot, where a guy like him who wants to dig in, wants to, you know, throw the big shot, wants to be in the middle, digging, exchanging, where, yes, you know, Clark will do some of that, but he is going to look for these takedowns. He's going to be the shorter guy, but he's going to be looking for those legs, latching on, looking to get him up against the fence, looking for these takedowns. And I think he can grind it out. I mean, I think he can grind it out and make this much more closer than the line indicates. Of course, he can get sparked out in the first round. But I think that at plus 200, I think that Clark has a path. And that's when I'm looking at a dog here. I think this is a dog or pass spot. I don't think you really want to touch Zhang here. I think the line's a little bit wide. He has the ability, of course, to get this finish, but I think Clark can grind it out, keep the pressure on, keep smothering him and slow him down, and then make it. I think this is a kind of a fight where you're going into that third round and it's 1-1. That's even if you get to that point, that means that Clark is a good bet, to be honest with you, because you're getting to that point. And I think that Clark, even in that third round, I think he could have the advantage when it comes to cardio. So I like Clark here. I'm going to take him here, as my other free play is Devin Clark, plus 205. I think he grinds it out. I think he smothers him a little bit. He looks for the takedowns, keeps top control. It could be ugly. It could be filthy. But I think it's going to be a close spot. It's definitely a dog or pass spot for me. So I'm taking Devin Clark, plus 205. There you have it for my plays for UFC Fight Night this Saturday. If you want to become a client, link down in the description. And again, $200 off my yearly package, over 40 units in 2022, over the last 3 years, over 105 units for my clients. So if you want to become a client, link down in the description. And again, appreciate everybody liking, commenting, following, all those great things. Always appreciate it. Helps my service grow. And let's see how we do. This is Kyle Anthony's UFC Betting Show, and I'll see you next time.